bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to be gathered together like this as your beloved ones, as your children, adopted by grace through faith in your precious Son. Father, we are so grateful that you even thought of us at all, never mind lovingly sacrificed your perfect Son for us, so that whoever believes in him would never perish but have eternal life. Father, help us never forget any of these details. Help us never take you for granted. And Father, we also pray right now for those in our church family who cannot be here today. We ask that you bless them both physically and spiritually, and bring them back to us in your timing. And Father, most of all, we are grateful and thankful for your precious Son. We thank you so much for sending him to be the propitiation for our sins. And we look forward to seeing you face to face one day. And until then, we ask that you bless this message. Help us concentrate on your word and believe what your word says by the power of your Spirit. And it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. To be loved by God. Please notice the wording in the title. I think you'll see towards the end why it's worded this way. But for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we're chosen by God, and the Bible says God has a special love for us. And it's a very intimate love, as we've been learning. And this is really the mind blow part of this. It's the same love that God has for his precious Son. So says the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I cannot wrap my mind around that. It's the same love that God has for Jesus Christ, his perfect, holy Son. So we're going to see that coming up a little bit later. But, you know, it makes us ask, if you're honest, how can that be? Not only can we not grasp that, but maybe we even doubt it because we think God's love is somewhat based upon us. But it's not. Grace, remember, is undeserved kindness, right? And it's based on God's character, not ours. And this is what it means to be saved by grace. The 100% pure grace of God. That's why we can add nothing to it. We can bring nothing to the table and try to intrude on the perfect, pure grace of God that has saved us. Nothing to do with ourselves, but due to his undeserved kindness. When I told Pastor I had a special message planned on being loved by God, he chuckled, saying, "What a surprise. Scott Grandy's teaching on the love of God." And, you know, I thought about it, and it's true that every couple of years, it seems, I teach a message on the love of God in some way, you know, in some direction. But it's not why you might think. Some of you might think, oh, Scott must have a handle on the love of God. That's why he's teaching on it. When it's actually the opposite. I struggle with God's love. I think everybody does to some degree because it's so difficult to grasp. And it's really incomprehensible by man. But I had to ask myself these questions, knowing that I still have a little religion in me that I struggle with. Do I struggle with the love of God because I think it's about me, when actually it's about him? Do I subtly think his love for me is based upon me or dependent upon me? Or, instead, am I willing to repent of that idea, that foolish idea, and believe it's all about his undeserved kindness in his foreknowledge and predestination of me. As we know now, that is the truth of the matter from our recent studies. But in other words, do I struggle with God's love because of my flesh getting in the way with its own self-centered thoughts? The answer is most likely yes. And for all of us, these are good questions to ask because we must examine the thoughts and intents of our hearts, right? We must examine the thoughts and intents of our hearts. If we struggle with the love of God for us, it's probably because we're being self-centered and we think it's about us. And we think in some way we have to deserve it, which is actually an impossibility in God's eyes with God's holiness in view. But because we all have a little religion in us, we all still carry around this flesh, as in Romans 7, we should all consider these questions in our hearts. Remember, God's trying to grow us, right? He's trying to sanctify us. He's trying to take us closer and closer to being conformed to the image of Christ. And that takes self-examination. It takes honesty. It takes going in the Word without agendas. So allow the Spirit to do his work in you, in us. Like even right now, as we admit we have these problems we carry around, and we admit maybe we think the love of God depends upon us, and that's why we're insecure. There it is. That's why we're insecure in God's love for us, because we think it depends on us in some way. Well, you should be insecure if it depends upon you in some way. Thank God it doesn't, right? It doesn't. We can't believe it. We have trouble believing it. But that's God. And that's why he gets all the glory. Specifically, the Spirit led me to this topic because of the many scriptures popping up lately, not just about the love of God in general, but about being personally loved by the Father and being called beloved by God. So let's begin this way. As Paul expresses the love of God towards believers in Rome, turn in your Bibles to Romans 1, verse 1. Romans 1, 1. So the Spirit is setting the stage for us. And what we're taking personal note of is God's affection, if you will, for believers. For us as his children. All right, here Paul expresses the love of God towards believers in Rome. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, that you are loved by God personally? Just look again at verse 6 and 7. Including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his saints. I mean, and that's why it says next, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have those things because of the love God has for us. On the board, compare that with 1 John 4:16, part A. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Apparently, God has a certain love for us, a personal love for us as his children. We're called to know and believe that love. Hopefully, this verse on the board is true about us now and more each day as we grow in the Lord. Because it will never be perfect in this life, in this body. But this is why we're doing what we're doing today. We're venturing into the Word of God to discover how much God describes his love for us. How he says it. You know, how he states it. To build up our faith in his love. All right? Again, we're not talking about the general love of God today. We're talking about his love for his children. And how intimate and personal it is. The other impetus for today's subject was the foreknowledge of God. Do you remember we spent a lot of time on that? The foreknowledge of God, how he foreknew us. And it speaks of his intimate knowing us in eternity past, his children. Knowing the foreknowledge of God refers to his intimate love for his elect from eternity past. We ponder the love that God has for us, even when we were against him experientially. That's another mind blow, of course. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. So God foreknew us. Like, he knew us. He didn't just know, you know, like we've heard the examples before, right? You don't just know the guy walking down the street because you've seen him once or twice. This is talking about personally knowing someone, like a family member, like a best friend, right? That's what foreknowledge is referring to. And he loved us that way in eternity past, knowing we would be against him. Romans 5, 6. For while we were still weak, remember we went to the Greek word for weak a couple of weeks ago, no pun intended. It means without strength in the Greek. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God shows his love for us. He revealed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So how much does God love you, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? How much does he love you? While you were still a sinner, he died for you. So how do you explain that kind of love? How do you measure that? How much, we're asking the question, right? How much does God love you as a believer in Christ? Well, how do we measure it? It's actually immeasurable. How do you explain that kind of love when God died for you while you were against him? Go to Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. How do we explain the love of God? Ephesians 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So why did God save us? According to verse 4, it's because of the great love with which he loved us. It's that simple, but it's also that astounding, because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. The love that God has for his children, for those of us adopted by grace through faith in Christ, is very intimate and special, much more than we can comprehend. The word gives us some details, however, some things we can cling to regarding the great love that God has for us. Because we believers belong to Him. Think about that word. We saw that just a few minutes ago in Romans 1:6. We belong to Christ. We are His possession now. We're His. We're adopted. Nothing changes that when you have a perfect parent. Nothing can change that. So first of all, on the board, regarding being loved by God, Christ's love for us motivated Him to go to the cross for us. And it's that same love that God continues to love His children with. So think about the magnitude of that love, that someone is willing to die for you and go to the cross even while you're against Him. It's that same love that God continues to love His children with. So let's do a reread of the wonderful passage we've been on recently. Go to Romans 8:28 again. Romans 8:28. Where we first explored the intimacy of foreknowledge and the unbreakable nature of God's love for us. Actually, it's funny. I don't even have this in my notes. How funny is that? Give me 1 second. Ah, there we are. Okay. All right, Romans 8:28. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, with Him, graciously give us all things? So pause there for a second. Do you see the importance of this question related to God's love for us? In verse 32. If He loved us enough to give up His Son for us, how will He not also be gracious to us? Is not grace an expression of love? Of course He will. Look at verse 35. Go to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. Just unfathomable, right? And that's why Paul goes on that rant. It's kind of like a rant, a positive rant. He's like, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because it's the love of God. Again, the point on the board, Christ's love for us motivated Him to go to the cross for us. And it's that same love that God continues to love His children with. We just saw that. And turn in your Bibles to Galatians 1, verse 15. Before we go to Galatians 2:20, go to Galatians 1:15. And again, think about the fact that His love for us started in eternity past. Galatians 1:15. But when He who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by His grace. That should sound familiar because we just started in Romans 1:1 today, didn't we? A very similar statement by Paul. Again, look at verse 15. And think about yourself as a believer. when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. Now turn to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, the point is, if he loved us enough to go to the cross for us, how could he love us any less than that going forward? We just read the two verses on the board, Romans 8:28 through 39 and Galatians 2:20. His love continues. How does it possibly go down from that point? He did the greatest, he would certainly do the lesser for us. And not only this point on the board about this same love continuing on towards us, but believers in Christ, chosen by the Lord, are personally loved by God in an intimate way, right? We've established that. It's so intimate, it's just like the love the Father has for his own Son. We're going to get to Scripture on this as well. Due to his adopting us, we are now his forever by grace. And God sees us, God looks at us as he looks at his Son. When God sees us, he sees Christ in us. And this was all motivated by this unexplainable love for us in eternity past, as he foreknew us. So we've already read Romans 8, which really lays that out for us nicely. Now think about this on the board. Next point, being loved by God. God's love is unbreakable and uninterruptible, regardless of the opposition. That's what we just read in Romans 8. Because he possesses perfect faithfulness. Perfect faithfulness. Why can we rely on God's love being so unbreakable? Because God is perfect, and God is perfectly faithful. All right? Go to Lamentations 3:22. We saw this about a month ago, I think, in one of our lessons. But in other words, and I'm trying to put this in human words, God's love stands on his faithfulness. If he wasn't faithful, or if he was imperfect in faithfulness, then we'd be worried about his love, right? Changing. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you see how the love of God for his children is related to his faithfulness in this passage? It's almost like that's the conclusion, right? Great is your faithfulness. That's why your love is so steadfast. It doesn't go anywhere, because great is your faithfulness. And if he did the greatest for us, dying for us while we were still his enemies, how will he not love us enough to save us now that we believe in him? A fortiori, right? Remember that principle, that Latin phrase, a fortiori? With much greater reason. This has to be true. Turn again, go back again to Romans 5, verse 6. Romans 5:6. Again, if I can run 5 miles, you would have no doubt believing I could run 1 mile, right? It's kind of a silly question. And so is the reasoning here. Look at Romans 5:6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Right? It's like foolish to think not. For if while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Just sweet reasoning God gives us there through the Holy Spirit, right? Sweet reasoning. He's basically saying, relax, children. You're now loved. I proved it on the cross. How could it go down from there? Why would you question my love from that act being done on your behalf? While you're his enemies, no less. So this should give us, as believers, great assurance because we're held in his hands of his omnipotent, unchanging, faithful love. Does that make sense? We're held in the hands of his faithful love, his perfect faithfulness. So as a friendly reminder of this before we go on, go to John 10:27. John 10:27. God's love is faithful because he's perfect faithfulness. And this should give us great assurance. John 10:27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Notice the second half of verse 29. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. What's the point we've been saying? The same love that Jesus loves us with is the same love the Father loves us with. And the same love the Father loves Jesus with is the same love the Father has for us. Which again, these are mind blows, but true statements. It's in the Word of God, right? For us to grab onto. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. By the way, is it a coincidence that this message is being taught on Father's Day? This message I started a month ago. I wasn't even sure when I was going to teach it, actually. And then, by coincidence, Pastor and I switched this week. And he's saying, Happy Father's Day from your Father above. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. So, believers, those of us called by God with an effectual call are those who have responded to his gospel. And he will never let us out of his hands now that we belong to him. Put all these key words together from these scriptures. We belong to him. So as we know from scripture, he's also caused us to be born again to a living hope by grace on the board. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope, eternal life. In other words, it cannot die, this hope. It's eternal. And as such, by the grace of God on the board, to be loved by God, God now calls us beloved. This is the thing that really instigated this message. All the passages that he showed me where we are called beloved. And what do you see in that word beloved on the board? What do you see in that word? Just look at it. Could you easily break that into two words? We'll get to that in a minute. The things that are said in the Word of God about those who are saved is simply astounding. And we know this is completely by the grace of God. Not because of us, but in spite of us. See, again, that's why it's 100% the grace of God. Because it's in spite of us. It's in spite of our sinfulness and our antagonism toward God. He still did it. We literally can't take 1 ounce of credit. God's love for us is unbreakable because it depends upon Him, not upon us. From the beginning, that's how it was, and it will always be. Again, God's love for us is unbreakable because it depends upon Him, not upon us. Again, He's the faithful one. And this is why it's so difficult to comprehend the love that God has for us as our Father. Not only do we know we don't deserve it, but on the board, regarding the love of the Father, to fathom such selfless grace and mercy and love, also being unbreakable. I mean, try to fathom that. Try to put those two together. We know God's love is selfless, right? He went to the cross for us. But it's also unbreakable. It can never be undone. Like, He's never unfaithful. As human beings, we are simply not familiar with such faithfulness in this world. It is completely foreign to us. It's alien. It's so strange for us to think this way. It's one thing for someone to love you selflessly, okay? At least for a time. Maybe you've been lucky to have someone in your life that loves you or loved you selflessly at one point. But it's another thing for that person to never renege on that love, to never change their mind, to never turn their back on you. But God, in His holy word, promises to never leave us or forsake us. Turn to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. You know, as human beings, we can never talk about this type of love in our personal relationships with other humans because of our imperfections. So here we see a characteristic, think of God's character, by the way, a characteristic of the love God has for His children is that it is steadfast. It's not going anywhere. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Again, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is foreign to us, but this is God's character. On the board, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the one who called you from eternity past even into fellowship with His Son, eternal fellowship, He's faithful. It's like reverse engineering it, right? He's faithful. The one who did all that for us, He's also perfectly faithful. So thus the need for us having faith in His faithfulness, in His love, believing what the Word of God says and not doubting, having the faith of a child on Father's Day for our Heavenly Father. Because as far as God's concerned, this is all facts. This is all done. You know, He sees the end from the beginning. We're already with Him in eternity in His eyes. It's a done deal, thank God. And that's all due to His faithfulness, locking it all up for us. So, turn to John 17, verse 20. We're going to start here now, looking into what God says about us, particularly calling us beloved and saying that we're loved by Him. John 17, 20. This was our Lord's prayer to the Father before He went to the cross. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Scratching record, right? Stop there for a second. That the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Do you see the intimacy? Like, do you see the intimate family relationship here that's being discussed with children, a father wanting the best for his children? It's so intimate. And look at all the ties in this passage, how he's trying to tie us together, trying to help us understand how we are tied together in Christ and with the Father. So when you read a passage like this, you know, it's good to just sit back and be overwhelmed. Like, be loved, you know, just be loved. And while we don't fully comprehend this kind of love, at the same time we can and should revel in it by faith. What have we been learning lately regarding God's sovereignty and man's will? It's faith that reconciles such things. Things that we can't comprehend on our own. It's faith that brings them together. And just says, okay, Dad, I believe you. Yep, amen, okay. I don't fully understand it, but I believe you. And it's that childlike faith that he wants, and that's that childlike faith that sets us free. From ourselves even, from our own doubts even. So just have faith and take God at his word. You are loved. We can choose to rejoice in what God's word says about us who believe in Jesus Christ. Namely, on the board, regarding the love of the Father, we believers are loved by God the Father with the same love he has for his precious Son. It's unfathomable, but true. We just read John 17, 23 through 26. Again, we believers are loved by God the Father with the same love he has for his precious Son. The only way we can receive that statement is by faith. The only way to be at peace with it is to receive it by faith. And when you do that, if you do that, what's your perspective change about life itself? Again, God's molding us into the image of Christ, right? He's conforming us. What's your perspective change about life itself when you stop trying to rationalize everything, stop trying to understand the love of God with a human rationale, and instead by faith receive it? We should be going out there jumping around the streets, technically, for joy. You know, just being like, God loves me like he loves his Son. This is crazy. Did you know that you'd be grabbing people by the arm, right? Did you know? You know, if we had that faith, that's what we'd probably be doing. I mean, we can't do that all the time, right? Got to go to work, better be a good employee. But this is where faith takes us, you know, if we believe what the word says. Your life as a believer is now different because you're loved by God. And you are now and forevermore called beloved. So here's what, you know, the Bible says about this, us believers being beloved of God. go to Romans 9:22. We're going to kind of finish our message today with a survey of some scriptures. We're just really going to read through them, because what more can we do? You know, like, how do, even like as a teacher, how do you describe the love of God? All you can really do is read the scriptures and receive them in humility by faith. So what does the Bible say about us being beloved by God himself? Romans 9:22. What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? In other words, even though they would never be saved, he left them around long enough to show us that he would save us from evil and evil people like Pharaoh, for example. Verse 23, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand in glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As indeed he says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. My friends, that word is a major characteristic of those God calls. A major characteristic of those God has called to salvation is that he loves them. It might be the major characteristic. I will call them beloved. Verse 26, and in that very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. Doesn't get any more intimate than that. My friends, this is what God is saying to us on the board regarding the love of the Father for us. Be loved. Be loved. Stop trying to wiggle out of it, like, because your flesh is doing its thing. Be loved. I know you might not be able to comprehend it, but by faith, be loved, because you are my beloved. God has destined we believers to be loved by him for all of eternity, starting in eternity past and going into eternity future. No end. That's our destiny. Again, on the board, the love of the Father. Be loved. I know you might not be able to comprehend it, God might say to us, but by faith, be loved, because you are my beloved. God has destined we believers to be loved by him for all of eternity. God has already committed to us once for all. And he doesn't go back on his promises because he's perfect. He doesn't divorce those whom he marries, unlike man does, right? He doesn't do it. He doesn't divorce those whom he marries. He's perfect faithfulness, even towards those of us who cheat on him, which we all do if you're honest. Every time we sin, we cheat on him. That's the state of the flesh. But he's faithful. That's why, again, it's 100% to his glory and his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace in Ephesians 1:6. This is how great the love is that he has for us, and this is how immovable the love is that he has for us. And this is another reason for our eternal assurance as believers. Turn to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. God calls us beloved. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Pronounce it beloved if you want. I think that's Old English, I'm not sure. But beloved, right? The beloved. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. God knew what he was doing when he chose to love us from eternity past. He knew what he was getting into. He knew he'd have to go to the cross to save us. It would be the only way. And he went forward with the plan from eternity past. There's only one explanation, and that is love. It may not be rational, but it's the only explanation. Go to Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1. Again, we're looking at Holy Scripture that calls us beloved by God personally. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So, what should we imitate of God? How about his love for us? Right? Because it goes on to say in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But in verse 1, we are called beloved children. And we are called to love one another just like God in Christ loved us. While his love may be incomprehensible, is it not simple? Is this command not a simple command at the same time? You've seen, in other words, God is saying, you've seen how I have loved you. Now love one another the same way. Imitate God. Again, while his love may be incomprehensible, it is actually a simple command that we are given, that we can receive by faith. When we imitate God and Christ in this simple way, in obedience, by faith, we bring him glory. We're a conduit, right? We're basically passing on his love. We've received it by faith, by grace through faith in Christ. We've received it, and we're literally letting it flow through us out to others. What a privilege. But that's what he's saying. Just do that. By faith, just do that. I've shown you how it's done. Just do that. Go to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. It's the flesh that gets in the way, right? It's the flesh that doubts God's love. It's the flesh that refuses to forgive people and holds grudges. How about with the faith of a child, grab hold of this and be like, I have to forgive you. I can't believe you did that to me, but I have to forgive you. And give him a big kiss on the cheek. I have to. God did this for me. I have to pass this on because I know what a wretch I am. And he saved me from that. Colossians 3:12. Maybe don't give him a kiss on the cheek. You don't have to do that. You never know, though. He might lead you to. Colossians 3:12. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So notice, God is like entreating us. He's saying, okay, in verse 12, you're holy and beloved. You're my beloved. So as these people, as my chosen ones, in verse 12, put on compassion, kindness, humility. Go, in other words, go out and love like this. This is how you love, like I loved you. Again, look at verse 14. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. How can we have the peace of Christ? Why should the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? Why should it dominate us? Because we have peace knowing that He loves us without end. Doesn't that give you peace? That no one can take you from His hand? No one can snatch you from His hand? And therefore, we carry around this peace that is indescribable, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, the point, my friends, is that we are described as beloved. Beloved of God. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. You know, very simply, we're called to be loved. Be loved. Receive His love by faith. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Now there's a passage to cling to. We're brothers beloved by the Lord in verse 13. And He loved us in verse 16. So be comforted. Turn to 1 John 3 verse 1. 1 John 3 verse 1. Talking about God's love for us, how could we not go to the apostle of love, the apostle John? Probably wrote about God's love for his children more than anybody else. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. If you're hoping in Him this way, which really hope means confident expectation, you're hoping in His love. You're receiving with confidence the love that the Bible says He has for you as His child. Go to 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Hopefully, you know, you're sitting back in your soul and you're like rejoicing, reveling in this, just receiving this, like, whew, is this good news, right? It doesn't get any better than this. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, in other words, those being loved by God. And by the way, you know, stop for a second. Think of the word being. It's happening now, right? It's constant. God is who he is. I am who I am, he said. We are being loved by God perpetually as believers. Like, it doesn't end. We are constantly loved by God as his children. So think about that when you see the word beloved. Be loved. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, which he clearly did, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. But again, we are called beloved. If God loved you like this, love one another like that, selflessly. Turn to Jude 1. Jude 1. Again, we're just finishing up this lesson today with a survey of scriptures that call us beloved. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Do you know why mercy, peace, and love can be multiplied to us and we can receive that? Because we're under the love of God now. Beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Here's God's faithfulness again. Look at Jude 17. Jude 17. There's only one chapter, so verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. As our dear pastor always says, right? Stay in the sphere of God's love. Stay in the sphere of God's love. Stay there. That's where you are. That's where you belong now. Again, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Listen, until he comes back for us or until he calls you home, stay in the love of God. Just like you have been loved, beloved. What an awesome passage. On the board, again, look at Romans 1:7. We started with this today. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're loved by God. Go to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, as we wrap up this morning's message. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. That's a good way to end. Really just end on Holy Scripture after Holy Scripture. The intimate love of God, we're called brothers. We're called brothers of our Lord. There's nothing more intimate. You know, that's a blood relationship, isn't it? If you're a brother and a sister, that's a blood relationship. But we're related because of Christ's blood, not because of our own genetic blood, right? But that's an intimate relation. It doesn't get any more intimate than to share the same blood. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So we are called brothers, loved by God. We have been adopted by God the Father as his very own children. Everything's different now. Everything's different now. It should be different for us in our experiential life too, if we realize he loves us this way. Totally undeserved. Let this by faith, like how do we receive the blood of Christ? By faith, right? By grace through faith. And we are now his. We belong to him. Let all these key words in these passages about who you are now in Christ affect you by faith. Be rejoicing in your heart. Take his love out to a world that is dying and is desperate to know that there is hope. And that hope is in Christ alone, who loved us from eternity past and planned on going to the cross. Not by accident. Just stupendous, right? Anyway, to the beloved, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for treating us this way, for letting us know that we are beloved, that we are yours, that we belong to you, all by grace, through faith in your precious Son. We thank you, Father, for loving us the same way you love your Son. It's unfathomable to us. But help us receive this by faith. Help us rejoice and be relaxed as your children, knowing we are loved by you. Father, we thank you for all your provisions. We thank you for your word and your spirit. And we ask that you help us go out to this world and reach out to others with the same love with which we have been loved. We ask all these things in Christ's precious name, and it's by the power of your Spirit we pray. Amen.